when you think about political power and the link between people in power and slavery, you do start looking for parallels around you in the world today. You start thinking, okay, we have these fights over access to the ballot. Well, who had the right to vote and how has that changed over time? And how did the way it all began influence the way it's going now? You can look at a lot of issues through this prism of we started as a country where the people who held power were so often the same people who held slaves. And what does that mean for us now? This project first started when DC did something that a lot of cities did around the summer of 2020 and created a list of all the public buildings and parks and schools that could be renamed because of various wrongdoing on the part of the people they were named for. My job at the Washington Post is covering DC's local government, so I looked at DC's list and I tried to figure out who these people were and why they were on the list. I realized that several of them were in Congress, and several of the people on the list separately were slave owners, and that was why they were listed. So I thought, well, maybe these members of Congress were slaveholders, and I Googled members of Congress who were slave owners. And it wasn't there, and I clicked to the second page of Google results, and it still wasn't there, and I realized there was no list. And pretty much right away after that, I realized I needed to make the list. I can imagine a lot of different uses for it, and I'm very excited to see, now that it's out in the world, how people do put it to use. Now, if you're a historian, you have this extra layer of analysis you can do where you can say, well, let's use this database and see if the slaveholders voted differently from those who were not slaveholders. I think it will be useful for all of those cities like Washington all across the country that are having debates about whose names should be on buildings. They can look up, you know, the person whose name is on your elementary school. You can look him up in this database. I'm also hearing from a lot of people who are researching their own family histories who've already started getting in touch with me. There are people who are descendants of some of these congressmen who are looking to see whether they had slaveholders in their ancestry. There are also people who are descendants of people who were enslaved by the congressmen. And oftentimes it's really hard for Black families to research their family genealogy because there's just so little information recorded. When I was going through these censuses to create this database, there's lots of information about the congressmen. It says often their age or their birthplace or their profession. There's very little information about the people they enslaved. Oftentimes they're just listed by age and gender, not even a name. So that information can be really hard to come by, and to the extent that it's helpful for Black families who are researching their family's past, that's really exciting to me.